been a while, for me anyways, it's exciting. It's exciting. I get to share with you some exciting stories, some exciting thoughts, and some things that God has put on my heart. First, though, as any good Baptist preacher, you know, I got to come up with a little bit of a joke. So, did you hear the rumor about butter? Well, I'm not going to spread it. I try at Street Church or to try and put some humor in, get things going. Most of the guys and gals they're kind of bored with my dad jokes, like my kids. But you know, I'm sworn to try and tell jokes, whether they're good or not. This morning, I would like to share with you a message that I spoke at our Street Church service on Father's Day in June. Many people ask us about our work and are we making an impact on their lives? And the answer is yes. People's lives are being changed, and some are coming to know Christ, and others are growing and learning. Some come up to me and call me pastor, and some have said, this is my church. So definitely, we are making a positive impact in the lives of our marginalized community. And secondly, I wanted to be able to give you a sampling of the kind of message, the kind of things that we do share when we do street church. Some of you, like Brian and Sheila and others, have come and helped serve food over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. And so they've kind of got a good idea of what we do as well. And then secondly, my heart for the body of Christ and folks like yourselves who have walked with us in a season of change and uncertainty. And I have attended churches over the years that had no pastor and the struggles that came that with walking that path. And I'm sorry to hear about this recent development. And then adding to the mix of our present world turmoil with COVID and vaccines, elections, it is a crazy world. Amen? And it's a crazy time in which we're facing. Now, some of you might be a little bit longer in the tooth than me, and so you might have faced different things like wars and rumors of wars and the depression and things like that. So some of this may not be all that new to you, or some of it may be just kind of that's just the way it is. So I wanted to encourage you and bring a sense of peace in the midst of chaos and hope in the sense of in a time of hopelessness, and to encourage and to build up and give us a place of direction and hopefulness. Now, recently, I spent about 40 days in prayer, not just focused on that, but as part of my daily routine, on the Lord's Prayer. So for 40 days, I did the Lord's Prayer, and I focused on different sections of it for that 40 days, just to see where God would speak to me and help me and encourage me. And a few months ago, I shared that message at Street Church. And one of the things I just wanted to just start off with is the Lord's Prayer says, "Our Father who is in heaven," or "Our Heavenly Father." Now, do you have a good grasp of what that means? Have you thought about God as your own heavenly, your own earthly father? For me, I had a real struggle with trying to figure out a heavenly father when my father was so dysfunctional and abusive. And a lot of times early on in my walk, that's how I related to God. So to see God as a heavenly father, a loving, caring father, sometimes was a struggle. So I wanted to share three thoughts with you today. Now, the first thought is understanding a heavenly father. The second is understanding a father's love. And then the thirdly is understanding for forgiveness. Now, in Genesis 2:4, it says this: This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, in that passage, Lord is capitalized L-O-R-D. Now, this is the first time that the word Yahweh is used in the Bible. And I wanted to do some research on that for my own self. And I came across some stuff that was very life-changing for me, very profound for me. And Rabbi Richard Waskow and Father Richard Rohr have defined the name Yahweh as the breath of God. God is the giver of life. Now, we're going to do some audience participation here. I want you to breathe in. Breathe out. Do it again. Breathe in. Breathe out. Some of you aren't breathing. The Jewish people have been taught that they're afraid to use the name of God. Breathe in. Breathe out. To understand God as a heavenly Father, it's important that He gives you life, that each breath is a gift. Now, breathing is saying the name of God. Yahweh. Yahweh. That's how Jewish theologians and the Greek or the Jewish words, I guess the Jewish words, not Aramaic, I was going to say. Each breath is a gift. So just think about that for a moment. Now, some of us are, like I said, we're a little bit longer, and we've been around a little bit longer. So we've had a lot of breaths to breathe in and breathe out. Now, some think the third commandment has said that you should not take the Lord God's name in vain. Now, some people think that means the swear words, right? What if? Now, I was thinking about this. This is how my brain works. What if taking the name of the Lord in vain is wasting your breath? Is wasting your life? This is just a thought. If we are totally committed to God, if we're totally devoted to the Lord, then we're not wasting our breath. And if we're not, maybe we are. Now, if we could understand God as a loving Father and realize how sacred that is, look at Luke 11. So Jesus told them, pray in this way, Father, help us to honor your name. Come and set up your kingdom. Give us each day the food we need. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who has done wrong to us and keep us from being tempted. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. That one really hit me hard. How can I forgive? A lot of people have hurt me, and I've hurt a lot of people in my life. How do I forgive others and how can I accept God's forgiveness if I can't be willing to forgive others? And that ties in with that whole forgiveness, breathing in and breathing out. I can't hold on to stuff. The anger and the rage and the bitterness, it's like a cancer. It takes away my breath. It takes away my life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Everlasting life. And Romans 5:8 says, but God shows us his love, for in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Some people, they hate that word sin. You know, oh, don't use that word. But we're all sinners. We are all broken. We have all missed the mark. And Christ died for us. Breathe in. Breathe out. This is a God that has a father's sacrificial love. Can you comprehend this kind of love? As a parent or a grandparent, can you feel the importance of that love for your child? Have you ever lost a child? Held a newborn babe in your hands? Wouldn't you move heaven and earth to provide and protect that child? I watched four of my five kids come into this world, and I have ached when one of my children was so very sick that they could have died. I've prayed over the body of a newborn babe that was born too soon and died. I put my finger on her foot as she was in the incubator, and I was asked to pray over this little child as she was dying. My finger almost fit her whole foot. I remember my son, I was working at the mission, and my son called me and said, "Dad, I almost died." And I had to leave work and rush home to my wife to tell her that my son had almost died, our son had almost died. A phone call saying that one of my other sons had almost died. And I was in a broken relationship with him, and I wasn't able to be able to be a father or be a dad to him. And he was in a trucking accident and fell into a grain auger and lost part of his leg and had to drag himself to the truck to call for help. He almost died. I've stood at the foot of a bed of a friend of mine and watched as she lay there dying. And the pain and the love of a husband and a son both watching and waiting and suffering and mourning. This is love in action. I have been in a place as a father where I have prayed and asked God to take my child's pain and in illness or whatever and place it on me. This is sacrificial love. And then the third thing I want to share is the story of the prodigal son from the son's side. Now the picture, this picture here, it was painted by Rembrandt, and it is in the, I can't remember the name of the place, it's in Russia, and it's in some big art gallery, and it's under lock and key. And a book written by Henry Nouwen called The Return of the Prodigal Son. And Henry Nouwen went to Russia with a special invite, and he spent 2 days looking at this picture. And this picture, the graphics don't do it justice, but if you Google it, you'll find it. And in the background, there's probably three or four people in the background. So let's just, as you're looking at this picture, hear the scripture, hear the story. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. Now, if we look at verses 12 and 14, the son did a very bad thing, a rebellious teen. He wanted his dad dead. That's how you got your inheritance back then. So, and then he takes it all and he blows it on a high life, living all that stuff, giving money, doing everything that he shouldn't be doing. The one thing that he did do that no Jewish, good Jewish boy would ever do, he hung out with Bacon. Now, that's not kosher. I haven't heard of kosher bacon. Now, right now, any one of us could be a prodigal child or have prodigal children. Any one of us could have a home that loved ones are waiting for. Now, again, I was speaking this more to our guys and gals who are on the street who are homeless. But we got to make a choice here and now for our guys and gals, for myself. We got to make a choice a lot of times, and it could be hard. Sometimes we have broken relationships. Maybe we have kids or grandkids, siblings that maybe part of our home fabric is broken. Maybe there's some rebuilding that needs to get done, some forgiveness. I remember I made a choice a number of years ago. And I wasn't allowed to be at home. Now, some of you have heard my story, and I was pretty rebellious and pretty wild. And, I wasn't welcome at home. I wasn't allowed to be around my sister or my brother because I was so bad. And I made that choice, and then there was a time in my life, and I was on the streets here in Vernon, where I was panhandling and just hanging out at Athens Pizza, eating garlic toast and smoking cigarettes, and I decided it was getting close to Christmas, and my very last night, there was a Christian coffee house in behind the theater on the main drag there, and the house that I'd kind of been rooming with a buddy of mine, his mom said, "You're gone, you're out." And so I was really homeless. And so I went and stayed at this coffee house one night. No blankets, no pillow, no nothing, carpet dark, very lonely, very desolate. And I just decided, I'm going home. I'm going to make things right with my mom. Although I promised the sun, the moon, and the stars, I wasn't really prepared to follow through. I just wanted a warm bed and a place to stay. And she welcomed me back, and for Christmas I got suitcases. So I knew I wasn't going to be around. But the thing, I just read this article just a few months ago, and it was posted about my mom. My mom was a postmistress, and she had moved to Chase from Summerland. And in the article, it was talking about her family. It was talking about what she's doing and all that stuff. Talked about my sister, talked about my brother, didn't talk about me. I wasn't in the picture. So many years ago, and that kind of was, it kind of hit me hard. And for our guys and gals, and for our loved ones, that may be some of our own circumstances. We've got broken relationship, and we need to get things right. The son came to his senses, and he repented, and the father welcomed him. Verse 20 to 24. Now, if you look at the picture, and you read these verses, I want you to picture a very wealthy man. Now, he looks, that's the guy holding the kid on the sandals there, okay? So, he looks very ornate, and looks very well off. Well-dressed. Now, this guy could have been a king, a president, a prime minister. You picture them in all their fancy dress, So here's this dad, very austere and very, you know, well off, and maybe very straight up, you know, one of them dudes that's kind of, you know, drinks his tea with his finger up, you know, one of them kind of guys. And he's sitting on his deck, his porch, his veranda, on his rocker, whatever. The key thing is he's watching for his son. Now, we have no idea how long the son's been gone. He's watching for his son, and he sees his son. Now, I don't know if it's a long driveway, a short driveway, or country road, but he sees his son, and he books it down the road to see his son. So he hikes up his garments. I've never wore a dress or a robe in my life, so I have no idea. I'm just kind of imagining. But you hike that sucker up, and you're going, right? Now, think of yourself. Booking it after one of your kids. You haven't seen him in a long time. Man, you want to give him a bear hug, right? Huh? Your grandkids, man, you want to hold on to them. You don't want to let go. Here's him booking it down the road, grabbing his son, and hugging him so tight that he can't breathe. You ever done that? You ever hugged a loved one so hard, so tight, so long that it took your breath away? I've done it. And that's God. That's you. That's me. Can you picture God grabbing hold of you, yanking you so close and hugging you that he takes your breath away? I'm hoping for it one day. Because that's the breath he's given you. I think about also, now look at that son. That picture of the son, he's got one sandal on, the rags are just, I mean, hanging out with pigs, living on the streets, not having a shower, not having bath, not having VO juice and all that stuff. I'm guessing, I don't want to get too graphic, but I bet you he didn't smell like honey. And he stunk. He reeked to high heaven, and yet that didn't stop Dad. He grabbed him. Sometimes our sin, sometimes our wickedness is a putrid smell. It hurts. So the forgiving Father has given us an example in the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And in forgiveness, the key word is being able to forgive ourselves and to be able to forgive others. Now, I had some discussion about being able to forgive ourselves. And I don't know. There's some theological debate on that. But as a guy who's sinned a lot, I have a hard time forgiving myself. Even though I know God's forgiven me, even though I've asked for forgiveness, but I hold on to the stuff that I shouldn't hold on to. And I think Paul would be a good example of that because he went around killing Christians before he got right with God. And he struggled. He struggled with that. So I think for guys who like myself who have struggled with forgiveness and not being able to forgive, that maybe that's an important part of learning how to be forgiven and to forgive. If we hold on to the bitterness and the anger against ourselves or others, then how is it that we can expect God to forgive us? The challenge for me is to let go, as I said, to let go of the past and to press forward, press on to the future. As a broken man who has hurt many in his life, I want so much to be forgiven from everything. We were at my youngest son's wedding on the 21st in Olds, and I had all five of my kids. My firstborn from my first marriage when I was young and stupid, that's the one that almost died. That's the one I don't have a relationship with. He's got a daughter, and it's a very strained relationship. I got to hang out with all the rest of my kids, but he sat off in a distance. And our conversation was very superficial. How I long to be able to be right relationship with him. But it's not on me, it's on him. Because he's chosen not. But still, the consequences. I know I got to let go and I got to let God. My challenge to you today, and as we're preparing for communion, is to take time to breathe in. Each breath in says Yah. Each breath out says way. Yahweh. Each breath is a gift from the giver of life. Think on that. And then remember, He is a forgiving Father. He loves you so much that He gives you life. I say this to my guys and gals. I say this to myself. I say this to you. Don't waste the gift. Especially in today's world. A lot of our guys and gals and our volunteers and stuff, I just keep simply saying, because this world is so crazy, and because it's so divisive, and because there's so much stuff going on, and families and churches and everything, I just keep saying, keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. We got to share Jesus' love. We got to be light in the darkness. We got to make each breath count, because we don't know how much time we got left. So as we close, commit your life, commit your breath to your forgiving Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for breath. I thank you that I get the privilege of being able to share and speak. I pray, Lord, for this church, for this body, for all the things that they are going through in their own world with health and marriages and relationships and direction and future, and for a pastor, a shepherd to lead the flock. I pray, Lord, for your favor, for your direction and your wisdom. And thank you, Lord, that you love us and you give us this breath. In your name we pray. Amen.